This year we're talking about what the Bible really says about. And in your worship guide, if you've got it open, I added one scripture for today. I have this prerogative. Colossians 3:15-17. Colossians 3:15-17. It's in your bulletin, so you would know to add that. So while we're finishing getting the worship guides, we're doing two introductory weeks on the Bible itself before we launch into what the Bible really says about. Last week we talked about how the Bible came to be. And today we're talking about how to develop a plan for reading and knowing the Bible. So as you hear Psalm 119, some verses from that, the longest psalm in Scripture, you could always follow along in that red book that's the Bible in the pew rack right in front of you. You can follow along in that if you'd like to. Today we're doing all the scriptures in the New Revised Standard Version. That's the same as what's in your pew Bible. Well, here's some verses from Psalm 119. A couple of verses from Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. And then the Colossians 3:15-17. And here's your task as you hear the scriptures today. Listen for the L words. The L words. Listen for them, and I'm going to be talking about them, key words in the scriptures that begin with L. Listen for them today. Okay, you got it? You got a good start on that with listen for them, with the L words? I'm going to talk more about that in just a few minutes. We're going to begin with the psalm.
Starting on verse 97 of Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day long. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is always with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your decrees are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way, in order to keep your word. I do not turn away from your ordinances, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path. The word of God for the people of God.
Readings from two places, first from the Gospel of Matthew and then from Paul's letter to the Colossians. From Matthew, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. No one after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." And from the third chapter of the book of Colossians, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And do whatever you do in the word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. So this message today is really like a teaching message, and I know some of you really appreciate that, at least now and then. So that's why it's important, if you have your worship guide and want to take notes or take notes on your bulletin, that this would be a message that would be conducive to that. Please pray with me. O God, let your word dwell in us richly. As we today hear psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, and in all of it give glory to you. Amen. So more than almost any other religious subject or things like that, the Bible has many jokes and puns about it, like this one that says, "Did Eve ever have a date with Adam? No, just an apple." You can take that home with you today. This was my first Bible. Some of you maybe got a Bible like this. It has a little zipper, well-worn zipper, doesn't really work anymore. Tiny print and illustrations. Illustrations. This was my first Bible that I got when I was in grade school. And this is my newest Bible. This is a Wesley Study Bible. So in the margins and in the notes area, it tells how John Wesley might have viewed a particular passage or sermons that he wrote that are related to passages in here. So this is my newest Bible, and I've been referring to this now and then, and this is my favorite Bible. So this Bible is just the right size, not too little, not too big, and in fact, it's designed the same way as your pew Bibles, so it has the same page numbering. This Bible I got when I went on an Emmaus walk here in Tucson back in the early 90s. And all the team wrote their names in the very beginning of this Bible right here. You can see this. And eventually this Bible wore out. The pages started falling out. I thought that was kind of a great thing, actually. It meant I used it a lot. But a good friend here in our congregation saw that and had this rebound for me. And so now it's just so usable again. And I refer to this Bible all the time. All the time. This is the one I mostly take with me. You know, I grew up memorizing Bible verses. I went to a church-related school from first grade through eighth grade. And we grew up memorizing. Every week we had several Bible verses we memorized. And it's good to have a storehouse of verses that you have memorized. That's a good thing. The problem is that it was just memorizing. We never talked about what the verses meant or why they might be important. I want for us in this year to talk about what the Bible means. Long ago and for us now, to truly let the Word of God dwell in us richly. And you know, really, it starts by reading the Bible. It's not going to dwell in you richly if you never open it and read it. Now, once you start reading it, you'll discover that you hear Bible passages all over in the world. You hear it in music, you hear it in movies, you hear it on the street. You see it on trucks driving down the road. But unless you open your Bible and read it, it's not going to dwell in you. So we're going to talk about a plan for reading and knowing the Bible. Some people wonder sometimes, what Bible should I get? Now, many of you probably have many Bibles in your homes. But some of you, I am confident, do not. Or you don't have one that you ever open. Although some of you study the Bible regularly. I tell people if you're going to get a Bible, get a good translation. This is what a translation is. A translation is a Bible that the scholars have translated into English from the most ancient documents that we have. They've gone back to the original Hebrew, and mostly Hebrew and Greek, and they have translated the Bible into English or another language. A paraphrase, on the other hand, is just that. It takes a translation that's already been done and paraphrases it. Now, paraphrases are good because they help us sometimes with our understanding, but they're not good for studying. Some people are very attached to the message. The message is a paraphrase. Now, that's good because you can use it sometimes to help you with your understanding. But I like to use a translation. All the Bibles I held up for you just now are translations of the original documents. The Pew Bibles that we have are New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. It's one we've used in our church for many, many years. Now, there's a newer translation called the Common English Bible, CEB. Also an excellent translation for modern times. You know, as the years have gone on, scholars, when they go back to the original documents, they see things or they know things. As the study of linguistics and other language studies has developed, they see and they know better how to do translation. So some of the newer translations might be more accurate than older translations. So if you need to get a Bible like the New Revised Standard Version or the Common English Bible, you can go to the publishing house for the United Methodist Church, Cokesbury.com. I know that many of you are familiar with this, but some of you are not. Go to Cokesbury.com, and you can order any Bible that you want, as well as many, many other study resources. So if you want an electronic Bible, you can go to BibleGateway.com, and Bible Gateway has literally hundreds of translations, hundreds of versions of the Bible that you can pick from. If you want a Bible in Syriac or Spanish or something like that, you can find it on Bible Gateway. So I'm going to trust that when I see you here in the pews on Sunday mornings, if you're like this and you've got your phone in front of you, you're reading your Bible on Bible Gateway. That's what you're doing, right? That's what you're doing when you're looking at your phone or your tablet in worship. Well, why read or know the Bible? We're going to talk about some words. There are many ways to talk about why read and know the Bible. Here's one why. Because it's the way that we let the Word of God dwell in us richly. And here's the real why. To receive Christ's light and then bring it into the world. That's why I read and study the Bible. So I can receive the light of Christ. And then I'm able to share it in the world. Reading and knowing the Bible makes a difference in our lives. It helps God's love live in us. It brings us light so that we can bring light to a dark and a hurting world. Here's three more L words that say why read the Bible and know it. First, reading and knowing the Bible lets God's love in. One thing we do with the Bible is we pray the passages. We meditate on them. We let God's love surround us and bless us with the words of Scripture. You know some of these. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you began every day with that mantra, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You are praying into God's love in the Scriptures. Or your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Or I have called you by name and you are mine. Or from John 15:16, you did not choose me. I chose you, Jesus says. Jesus chose you. Spending time with passages like these, praying and meditating and sitting with them, lets God's love into our lives. It shapes and it strengthens us. Second, reading and knowing the Bible lets learning in. It lets loving in and it lets learning in. We learn about where we've come from and who we are as Christians with our Jewish roots in Scripture. We learn history. We learn about people. There are fascinating stories in Scripture of courage and choices. We learn about the sins of people and the consequences of following other gods or failing to care for the poor. We learn about the beginnings of the early Christian church in the book of Acts and in the letters of Paul. And we learn mostly for us, we learn about Jesus. his life and what he said and did and what was truly important to him, to love one another as I have loved you. There is nowhere else that we learn more about Jesus than in the Gospels in our Bible. If you want to know about Jesus, you got to read the Bible. Reading and knowing the Bible lets learning in. And third, reading and knowing the Bible lets guidance for living in. Guidance for living. Gives us guidance for life, for making decisions about easy and hard things. The Bible won't always tell us exactly what to do. If you're faced with this, then do this. But it gives us principles and guides us in the way of doing justice and loving kindness and walking humbly with our God. It's a good thought, especially on this weekend when we celebrate the life and the work of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And in our world today, it is especially important to use the Bible as guidance for living in our world where things are divided and difficult. When we read and know the Bible, we discover the ways and the whys, W-H-Y-S, the whys of serving God in the world, sharing God's good news of love. We find out how and why to do that. Reading and knowing the Bible lets living in. These are the main whys for reading and knowing the Bible: drawing close to God in love, learning about our history and Jesus and the church, and receiving guidance for living, letting God dwell richly in us. How can we make a plan for reading the Bible? Well, I'm going to share two thoughts with you. Remember, this is under the overlay of let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Here's two ideas. I made this first one up. I didn't read it anywhere, okay? I didn't read it anywhere. I thought, you know, if you read a psalm, there are 150 psalms. If you read a psalm and you read a chapter in the Gospels or Acts every day, there are 117 chapters in the Gospels and Acts. So you have more psalms than you do. So you have to keep on going then. You know, if you get to the end of Acts and you're not done with the psalms, you just have to keep going. You have to go into Romans and start reading a chapter. Okay, you get what I'm saying? Read a chapter, read a psalm every day, and then read a chapter in the New Testament, starting with the Gospels. And that'll carry you through, what, half the year at least. Then you can start over if you want, or you can do a different plan. There also are many, many Bible study tools at BibleStudyTools.com/Bible-Reading-Plan. So you might make a note of that and go to that website, because at that website there are dozens of plans for reading the Bible. 71 days in Isaiah. Reading the Bible in order. Doing it chronologically for how the books and the events happened. There's dozens of plans for reading the Bible at BibleStudyTools.com/Bible-Reading-Plan. You got it, right? You got it there. There's dozens of other plans. I just ordered a book called 5 Minutes a Day for Getting Through the Bible in a Year. So I don't know about that book yet. I'll share it with you in a few weeks when I get that. And here's the thing. Knowing the Bible is more than reading it. But if you don't start reading it, you can't really know it. Like my memorizing lots of verses as a child was a start. It was a good start. Knowing the Bible, let the Word of God dwell in you richly, takes a little more. Or something you do while you're reading, like this. While you're reading, keep a piece of paper right there. And make some notes as you read. What moves you? What moves you while you're reading that psalm or that passage in the Gospels? What questions do you have? Surely you're going to have a million questions about the Bible. I have a list that I'm going to ask God when I get to heaven. And then what does this ask of me? Make notes about what moves me. What questions do I have? What does this ask of me? You can do that on your own. You don't have to leave the comfort of your home. Don't do it right now, even if you got your face buried in your Bible. Also, take a class. Study with other people. Better yet, teach a class. I know some of you already do that. And those of you who are teachers know that you learn the most when you teach, right? It forces you to learn. You learn more. So think about, wow, maybe God's working on me to partner with somebody else and teach a class on the book of Matthew or something else in the Bible. This year, one of the ways to really know the Bible is to be in worship, right? Because we're going to talk about the Bible every week. Now, we always do, but it's very intentional this year when we're talking about what the Bible really says about. The thing is that you have to take an active role in growing in your faith. You need to participate in it. So you should have a list of L words by now. Let God's love in. Let learning in. Let guidance for living in. People ask me pretty regularly, actually, why I've gone into ministry. And then the companion question usually is, why is the Bible so important to you? They'll ask me that, and here's what I say. The Bible is a great gift. It's like somebody gave you diamonds or pearls. It's a great gift. We take it for granted. How many gifts that you get do you take for granted? And the Bible is one of those. It's a great gift, and it's meant to be used. It's also been misused, and that's one of the main reasons why I'm preaching on it this year, so we can dispel some of those ways that the Bible has been misused. I want us to reclaim this year the Bible's messages and their meanings for our lives. You know why? Because I want the light of Christ to dwell in me. And I want to help bring his light to the world, for him to light my path. And there's no better way than letting his word dwell richly in me. Thanks be to God. Amen.